Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 26-year-old actor is now starring in her first big-budget movie opposite champion kickboxer Jean-Claude Van Damme. Called Street Fighter, it's just begun shooting at Movie World on the Gold Coast.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanell here, Tommy, episode 398. We're rapidly approaching our diamond wedding anniversary, I guess it is.
That's a long fucking marriage. Or I guess if you were doing a marriage based in weeks, like how with a baby, how people would say months up until a point, which I suppose would be 2 years. When do you start calling a baby in years?
They say 18 months.
Yeah.
Right? I reckon 2 years, yeah.
I guess you don't. My baby's 19 months. How old am I in months?
So many DMs to the socials are being typed while we're mid this riff already. Like, this is a thing that I think really sets a lot of parents off. There's no, there is no united front on that as far as I can tell.
And however you do it is the right way to do it. And everyone else is fucking up their kids I think by calling them 31 months.
We can all agree that 400 years is the diamond wedding anniversary, though.
Yeah.
That was dead on.
You're exactly right. The present is every diamond in the world. My name's Adam Knox, by the way.
I'm looking forward to doing this podcast in AR. And I'll be looking at you guys, but I'll also have, like, I don't know, Marvel Snap open. I'll have maybe a Wikipedia page for the game we're talking about.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah.
It is cool that Apple have developed a real-life version of that meme of the guy watching Family Guy as he's got Tenet on in the background.
Yeah.
That's your takeaway.
That was the inspiration.
One of the most significant innovations in technology.
Yeah. It was inspired by a meme about Family Guy.
Yeah.
Prove me wrong.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a significant... It's really great. Like, yeah, that Apple WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference, happened.
SmackDown edition.
Yeah. John Cena came out and slammed Tim Cook into the audience. And
then apologized for referring to Taiwan as a country, I think.
Yeah.
It's part of it as well.
It's a cool looking thing. I skimmed through that, like...
The full prezzo.
The whole prezzo. And... there was a portion earlier, they went through like, oh, there's a new iOS and we're fixing up how fucked our autocorrect is.
Oh, yeah.
The number of times
good.
I'll try to say hell and it'll be like, I'm in heel.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, I'm often telling people that I'm living in
I'm hell. Living in a personal hell of my own making.
Oh, I get help. If I put hell, it says help.
Well, that's...
I mean, that's okay. That's like a lateral move.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all right. It it autocorrects my girlfriend's name when I type that out.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's good.
What too?
Yeah.
I don't want to reveal her name on this, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to guess. Does it change it to Adam?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
My girlfriend's name is Alan.
The only name I could think of was my own name. So they did all of that, and then there was a portion of it with Mac stuff where they were like, with games, we're doing new stuff. We've got this, they've got a graphics engine or whatever called, I'm going to get some terminology wrong.
Okay.
But they've got a sailboat called Metal that they use as a way, it's easier to port Windows games to Macs now.
Yeah.
And to the point where people have been doing it themselves, and the tools were positioned more as like for video game companies to be like, now you can make a Mac port of your game a lot more easily. We're sorry for the last infinity years.
Right.
It's been impossible.
Well, yeah, video games are only just now becoming profitable. So
We want a bite of that Steam dollar.
Yeah.
Apparently,
so much about.
Steve Jobs hated games.
Yes.
Is part of the reason that Apple was like, he thought it cheapened because they were meant to be professional machines.
And, right. Yeah, okay.
Which there's logic to for a time. but
it's pronounced Logitech.
Sorry, it's pronounced Logic Pro. I'm talking about Macs.
When's their big conference? When's the Logitech?
RGB mouse. Yeah.
We tried to do a big conference, but the Bluetooth dongle we were using to connect our cameras to the thing didn't fucking work properly. I've got a lot. And it's, anyway,
that is interesting though, because video games have gone back and forth between sort of tech and toys.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For like their, for, you know, when they, after the video game crash, they had a hard time getting department stores to sell games, and they had to market it to some as like, no, no, it's not a fun novelty anymore or a kid's thing. It's like it's this cutting edge technology.
It's
like
a word processor as well.
Right, right. They're always going back and forth, like straddling the line between like what's most in vogue and
exactly.
in flavor with people.
And I think that's probably the era where Steve Jobs made his mind up.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so, but now they're in another place, which is just the most profitable form of media.
Mm. Yeah.
So they're putting in some stuff to make it easier to port Windows games over to Macs. And it's crazy. Like, Macs have been terrible at running a lot of games.
Yes.
And I was looking at, there's like a Mac gaming subreddit mm-hmm. that has been one of the most depressing places in the world for many years.
Yeah.
Because A, it's a subreddit, and B, it was people going like, oh, I'm playing this and it doesn't really run, but I got it working. But now, like, they've gotten stuff running just themselves
right
pretty well, mm. which is a huge change. And so they had that. They had Hideo Kojima come out and be like, I'm making Death Stranding for the Mac.
Yes.
Right.
And
so now that all the hard work has been done by people, just fans behind the scenes,
well, but
is now Apple are jumping on board and going, yeah, we're going to make this easier.
It's the other way around.
Oh,
they
okay.
made it easier. And in the moments since then, people
right.
have been
have
able
already
to use
oh, okay,
that
sure,
to
sure.
do what professional development studios should now hopefully be able to do a little easier and get. Games being in more places is good.
Which is cool, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
I want to get that fucking cheese grater one. You see that one, the Mac Pro?
They've had that for a while and it was like thousands of dollars back then and was still Intel for a
right.
long time. And so it was kind of their most expensive and least useful one, and they've updated that. That you can spend as much as you fucking want on a Mac.
Yeah. $12,000
plus, and it, like, they're still not the cheapest, best way to play games.
To
like,
do any, to do really anything.
No,
an
they're not really the best phone. They're not the best headphones. They're not really the best computers. But they're the easiest ecosystem to be in
and
at
they,
this point.
Technologically, at least, will be the best AR, VR helmet thing.
Yes.
It is massively highly engineered and in a crazy way where it's like, this is probably the best you could make at the moment
mm-hmm.
in an interesting way. The price is fucking nuts.
Well, we talked about this last week. It was, yeah, heavily rumored that they were going to be getting into the VR space and announcing
yeah.
that at this conference. And it's, yeah, the Vision Pro, mm-hmm. it's $3,500 US, I think it's going to be.
Yes, yeah, and that's pre-tax and all of that
yeah.
too. So,
and there's also,
and that'll be like the base model or whatever.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
So.
And there's no announcement yet about Australian price or release date or anything like that. So we can't, yeah, we can't speak to that. But
I imagine a safe guess would be like 5,500 Australian,
probably even more. I bet.
Ooh,
yeah,
mama.
But it's weird because they're a company that makes stuff. You know, like the cheaper iPhones
iPods.
Are meant to be. They no longer
AirPods.
Yes,
thank you.
Hard Day's
welcome.
Night.
Technically,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
that was EMI.
damn
it was made in Apple's in Apple.
Not yet. Not that the Apple.
Oh,
I
really?
Think was for boy.
Oh
it's
no!
Right
I think
at
you're
the
right.
End, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's like Let It Be an Abbey Road. I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a great image. Some 70-year-old man sitting down to watch this conference, just thinking he's going to get the announcement of like Get Back 2 or something. Damn
well,
it, again.
He could watch maybe if they do another Beatles series on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be on the Apple.
He
Vision
could watch
Plus
that on
Pro.
A ranch.
Yeah, so that's they showed some apps and stuff like that, and
mm-hmm.
like the Disney Plus one is just like you can watch anything, same
so
as PSVR. Well,
yeah,
I,
let's go
yeah.
through the tech of it. So it's
right.
it's more than it's not so much that it's just there go at a VR headset. It's AR is the big thing for it. So it's got like incredibly detailed pass through. So you
yes.
put it on and you're looking at the room.
Yeah.
Two
space
4K screens, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like one for each eye and really high resolution cameras, both looking out to show you the world and mm-hmm. looking at your eyes.
Yes.
And it's not even cameras looking at your eyes. You scan your face with your phone first.
Oh, really?
Or maybe even with the headset. And then it projects a 3D model of your eyes and where they're looking onto an OLED screen that's on the front of the thing.
Right.
For people outside of it to look as though they're seeing your eyes, right. which I think will be so scary.
Yeah. That's worse than just having like a, you know, a white piece of plastic, I think.
But they can't do that because it's like the screens and the glass and the metal and everything. Mm. Like the lenses are covering your eyes. So they have to, if they want you for some reason to be able to pretend to look at a person's eyes.
Yeah.
But they're designed.
I mean, that is one of those things where you have to imagine that's whacked a fair bit onto the price tag where it's like, get that out. Does it need to have a photo of your face?
The idea for this one, I think, though, is more that it's like a workplacey thing.
Yes.
Than a consumer grade piece of equipment.
Yet.
Because like
they're selling them to Silicon Valley executives, basically.
So get rid of the monitors on your desks that would have cost up to this much anyway if they are like color grading monitors.
Is
the sort of pitch, I think. And then no, like controllers or anything.
Yes.
The interface is your fingers coming together like a crab.
Yeah. Yep.
A crab can use this VR. It's the first crab-based VR system.
That's true, because they are going to customize the lenses as well. You can't. There's no glasses separator holder thing.
You have to go into an Apple store and get your face scanned. Or I think you can do it with an iPhone too, because it's got like the LiDAR or
Yeah.
And it will give you a custom molded fucking thing and lenses if you need glasses.
Yeah, give them your prescription. So it's if you're a crab, you can go into the Apple store and get that process done.
The Apple Sebastian, they're calling it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They are calling it that.
Yeah. And it's red. It's a red.
Yeah. Well, a crab could use anyone anyway because their eyes come up on stalks. So they don't even need it molded to their face.
It'd be very small.
They're adaptable,
too,
so
they're
very
adaptable.
It'd be a
fraction of the price.
And then, so they had this part as like the ending and the kind of focus of this thing. But because they'd had that game section earlier and then didn't fucking mention games at all during this VR thing, I think because they probably want to distance themselves from the fact that like VR, its main application so far has been for games.
Right, and you
so
can buy
trying
a,
to be like, this
a meta
is for everything.
Because Meta had a showcase about 4 days ago.
Yeah.
And they announced the Meta Quest 3 and it's like, yeah, that's going to be for games and it's going to be $500. It's not going to be $3,500.
Yeah, the
Quest
3.
Well, they also just know like, they're not pitching this to the everyman. There's no point in them having a part of this trailer where it's going, check it out, you can play Beat Saber on it.
Right.
Like, they just know that that's not who they're pitching it to. Like,
and they had a bit of that of like a guy sitting down with his popcorn, like jumping around the room because he's free, sitting down to watch a movie.
Who wants to jump around while watching a movie?
The human. The human does. It's a very human design. This guy, I love the bit of like, his kids were like playing soccer or something and he was just standing there fucking glaring at him like a praying mantis trying to like, because you can film in 3D too. I think it's a really cool piece of technology that has no application for the normal person.
Yeah.
You think about if you were an interior designer or an architect being able to have this on, give it to a client, be in their house and show them a representation of this is what this room will look like if we knock this wall down or put this thing on there. Or like, that is really cool and impressive, but there is something so strange about this, living in this world now where these companies have such a cult around them that there is a presentation that is streamed into every person's house, and the casual observer who has, a MacBook and an iPhone and likes the way the company does things, and then pitching this thing to you that is $3,500, so unattainable for just like the man on the street. But like, that previously, like in the 90s, this would have been something that you just like read about in Wired magazine where it's like, oh, that's what they're using in these big companies now. That's kind of cool. Like, the fact that everyone learns about this now and has like a bit at the end where it's like, here's when it'll be available is kind of absurd.
Yeah. Because my brain is Wired magazine, to do the gymnastics necessary to justify to myself things that I don't need. If you go, well, I don't need a display anymore, I don't need that 4K TV. This is a computer, so I don't need one of those.
Yeah.
You can see what they're thinking, but for games in particular, this isn't for that.
I just think all of that stuff, though, the idea that you will use it to replace your monitor, your TV, your computer, I just don't see it panning out that way. Like, I just like having this thing on your head and having the screen that close to your eye.
Yeah, yeah.
I think long term, it's kind of a nice idea and it's very futuristic. Like, I read a thing that was like, yeah, you'll be able to watch Ted Lasso in space. So it's like there's the screens in front of you and then, you know, it's projecting also like a different environment that you're in. But I just, I can't see people en masse long-term really connecting with it in that way.
Possibly. I will be interested to see if you look back at this in AR in 10 years, if it'll be like, oh, who's going to want a little square in their pocket
yeah.
and it's always buzzing and going
that
off?
I get. That, get rid of the phone. But like, one of the things I love about my monitor is I don't have to wear it on my face.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not comfortable to wear a VR headset.
Yeah.
Even the most comfortable one. It's like, no, I like to not jump around and do cartwheels while watching movies. But I like to, you know, lay on my couch and watch TV. It's not the ideal way to experience the world.
I would, because I think the thing of showing like, oh yeah, you can like remodel a space. That is cool. That is sort of like the first draft version of what you'd cook up with this.
That big screen thing works well in like PSVR 2 and all of that stuff. Like, just playing a normal game on that big screen is cool.
Yeah.
I don't do it as a normal thing. But the things that are in this that people are saying are cool that already exist in VR, like the PSVR 2 has that eye tracking stuff that really felt cool.
Mm.
And that's how you like navigate the menus in this, is by looking at something and clicking it by doing the crab motion with your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be cool.
It is funny that...
But, like, you're right that it's potentially going to be something that people don't want to adjust to or that is more cumbersome, like, comfort-wise for people. I think I could see myself, when this is one day, not a life-ruining proposition financially.
Well, it has made the PSVR 2 seem like a budget option. So, like, funnily enough... You must feel like you made a shrewd investment now.
Wrong.
Because, what I was going to say before, to me, the more interesting version of this, it does have good practical applications for business, but it's a luxury toy. Don't treat it like, oh, this can replace all this stuff in your house as a utility. The version of this where they lean in and they are cooking up some kind of cool AR-based game where you've got this thing on, it's showing you a perfect recreation of the room that you're in, but there's little characters running around. If they found an interesting way to do that, that is the interest. That to me would be the interesting selling point, because it is. It's like, it's a crazy expensive piece of tech. Like, lean in and treat it like that and do
Show it off. Cool stuff with it.
Like,
which I think, like, we're at the point with this thing, because it's like a new platform starting. Like, when iPhones first came out, it was a similar thing of like, well, this is ridiculous. Like, why would I pay $1,000 to have this thing where I could pretend to be drinking a beer or like reloading a shotgun and it goes, and like, oh, cool. But but you're right that the hurdle will be, it's like self-driving cars and stuff, where even if the technology does get there, will people actually want to like feel comfortable having this thing on their face all the time? Same as with cars. It's like, well, I want to hold the wheel because I feel unsafe otherwise.
Yeah.
Even if technically I'm not, even if the car can drive better than me one
day. Right, which is the case. And I'm more on board with self-driving cars, even though I like to drive. But I think it's because it's very specifically not an inclusive communal piece of technology.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, phones, as much as the meme that's been posted in defense of the Vision Pro, of like, you know, laughing at these people with these headsets on, is like, you know, the photo of the family all staring at their smartphones.
Right.
Phones do, like, smartphones have helped to connect the world in a revolutionary way. It's just, it totally changed society, and sometimes, you know, negatively, but ultimately it's for connecting people. Putting on a head, you can't watch a movie with your family with a headset.
There is something incredibly dystopian about the fact that it shows a fake representation of your face to the people around you.
I think that's what they're probably thinking about when trying to add those features too, is like trying to make it look like you're not wearing it by having you look like a goggle-eyed freak peering through an aquarium
at
everybody. But like, when that stuff gets better and better and becomes more accept, like, I could see it being the case in however many years that
we're
accustomed to it.
I think we're also because we're on the verge of like another global recession. Mm. I think it's bad timing. I don't think that even if every C-suite of every major corporation in the world outfits everyone, you know, at the top level with these.
Yeah.
Mm.
Even if the next one down is like $1,000, like people aren't spending $1,000 on this kind of thing.
There's just something so weird about like the concept of people were feeling very overworked and like their jobs were demanding so many more hours of them, or they felt like they had to give those hours to stay competitive in their place of work. Then we have the pandemic and people's schedules are able to change and they're able to work from home and get more time with their families and stuff. And
the quiet quitting movement thing. Yeah.
And then moving forward, having that kind of like workplaces realizing like, oh, you know, you've got the freedom to have a day at home and all that kind of stuff, to then now this kind of push of like, you're probably working at home, but you've got this headset on that's like beaming you in to like a fake representation of the boardroom. Like there's something so weirdly in between. That, and again, it's like, this is such an overused thing, but it is so Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Like just that someone cooking that up is like, oh, this is desirable. This is what people are going to want.
Yeah.
If we put this in our presentation, people are going to lap it up.
That bit in the presentation of like the father who, I think it's like breakfast time and the kids are, you know, up for getting ready for school and he's like got Microsoft Excel or, you know, whatever, Apple numbers in the corner of his thing doing work stuff. It's like, that's bad.
That's bad.
There's always the people in the cyberpunk things where, you know, there's one guy being like, these goddamn splicers are walking around with their fucking metal legs.
Yeah.
And I wonder if like it's a...
And he's right.
That I reckon I would fully submerge into plug me into robot world.
Well, I'd love to try one of these on because the form factor of it and everything, it does seem very lightweight and nice to wear.
I think especially because we come with experience that still not most people have of speech.
You put the word R in, otherwise you would have been fine.
The fact that we've used a bunch of VR headsets so have this preconception with them where it's like, yeah, it's bulky and it makes you feel sick. And, you know,
we've been kind of going down the line as they're getting slimmer and slimmer. And like, I love my Meta Quest 2.
Yes.
But yeah, they had a presentation earlier in the week too where they announced their new one, which will be, obviously a fraction of the Vision Pro. It's a slightly better screen, slightly better hardware.
Slightly better out-facing cameras again.
Yeah, and just reduced in size and kind of looking at it and thinking like, well, that's probably enough for me to like get that little upgrade to go like, wow, the future really is here. Look how look how lightweight and easy to wear this thing is now.
Sure, too. Also, tapping the side and not having like, you know, night vision, fucking grainy security cameras.
Yeah.
Like that difference will be maybe not even enough for me to get one. Like the stuff that I'm doing on the Meta Quest 2 is like all I can imagine wanting to do. I'm playing occasional physical games.
Not quite yet. It'd be maybe I'd like, sell mine and upgrade if I was, if some stuff came out, if I had a try of it. But yeah, like also funny that their presentation was sort of the only one of the last couple of weeks that's had VR in it, that's had any kind of focus on some decent games. Power Wash Simulator VR.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finally.
I know. I wonder
some confirmation.
How that will feel, because if you're having to hold your arms up for as long as it takes to do a level in Power Wash Simulator, it might be really uncomfortable. But
you're describing a lot of people's jobs.
Exactly. And I don't think anyone's going like, you know what's great about my washing job? The comfort.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. It's
look at these hands, guys. Very soft.
But then, look at these, every part of my body, guys. Very soft.
Beat Saber is, I guess, purposefully an exercise game.
Right.
But it's not, using those controllers, like really gripping them, because they will fly away otherwise. They are comfortable, like of all the controllers I've used.
And the Quest 2 is really cool, and I'm sure that the 3, like, there weren't that many games in there for me where I was like, oh, great. Like, it's still this sort of VR desert at the moment where...
A little bit.
There's not that sort of next whatever thing it is to
it's definitely of everything out there, though, if you're curious. Like at this point now, I think the price of the two will drop a little bit. So now's if you've been curious,
maybe drop back to what it was before they brought the price up.
Yeah, but if you're curious and you've got the disposable income, I mean, we've talked about it before. We can all recommend the Quest 2. It's still a luxury, but you know, you get your Beat Saber, you're super hot. Moss is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Power Wash will probably be good. Like, you know, there's the climb, Resident Evil 4,
Fisherman's
the climb.
Tale,
there's enough stuff on there that's like you've got a good little bank on there. It's for what you're getting, like the hardware all being in it. And now that you're seeing what VR can end up costing, it's a pretty attractive price point.
And it's a different thing because they do benefit from having Apple be like, ours is for, because like they're sort of making a different product, and that Quest Pro is $2,000 whatever dollars.
That's their version of that. Yeah.
They must all think there's some market for this because they're trying to do it.
There is.
Yeah.
It's like companies that are getting venture capital funding, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Those companies where their banks are all going under now, too.
Exactly.
You know, like,
it's those companies.
And they've
got to
get in
them
before that bubble bursts and they all start getting eaten.
Yes. But yeah, they've only got a, like, that budget line at Facebook, I guess.
Yeah.
Just has to even out, and they just have to sell enough to people who are also basically Facebook.
Yeah.
you know, all of those offices, and then go, okay, cool. We got that tech. We figured it out. We made them.
Sailboat.
Broke even.
Oh.
Broke even, and then the other stuff, the consumer stuff, is where we'll hopefully make a profit.
Yeah.
And once you have those like over-engineered ones, it makes it easier to make the lower tier ones hypothetically later. And it like, you're right that there is enough in any VR thing now to justify having one. You don't need to have a Hydra's worth of them like I do. I'm invested in the I like VR as a imaginary thing that it isn't yet. That I like what the Apple thing is doing to seem like it's pushing towards that future that I can see in 4K for each eye.
VR kind of working alongside AR, like the Mario Kart what's it called, home circuit thing with the little remote control that was showing you your living room. That's cool. Like that kind of shows the proof of concept of like, having a little interacting with these little characters in your in a representation of the physical space that you're in. It's neat. It's a neat idea. Like, it would be cool to see this tech get to a point where companies like Nintendo, who don't want to be charging $4,000 for the technology, can start to kind of
they
want get
to be
into
charging
it and put
it,
their they just won't ever do it.
No,
like,
I
if that's the only way they can make their headset, they're not going to do it for another like 10 years.
It was cool. Do you remember the 3DS came with those little cards where if you put them on a table and they would pop up a little Animal Crossing
that
bar,
was sick.
Whatever?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
The stuff is so cool, and just, you know, one day
using the camera in the 3DS to take a photo of your face, and then remember that little built-in game on it?
Oh,
where
and you'd
it would
shoot
then,
the helicopters
it would,
of
yeah,
your face.
Yeah, it would put a little helicopter on your 3D head and it'd fly around, and you'd have to like use the gyroscope thing to aim and shoot your own head down.
This is what I've always wanted to do but never had the courage.
It's cool, like an AR thing where it like takes a scan of your head and then it's a version of you in front of, you know, like a clone game of you, like stuff, you know. There are so many cool creative applications that it could get to if it just becomes, more accessible for the casual gamer, which means that then, fun creative developers can put the time and resources into developing stuff for it.
I think if one day they find a way to actually make that stuff the more seamless option compared to a monitor and a keyboard and a mouse for Mr. Joe Average,
right,
who is imaginary anyway.
But yeah,
like, I could see it come, but at least in game terms, the more interesting thing out of the Apple thing was this porting stuff. Having Hideo Kojima show up and be like, "We're making Death Stranding for Mac," and
he's
then,
just like, he's getting around town. He's like, "Oh, so I love Sony. I'm putting my games on Sony. I love Sony. Thanks for all the money, Sony."
Do you know who
Apple?
You know who Hideo Kojima loves too? Hideo Kojima.
He does,
because they put out this trailer for a thing called Hideo Kojima Connecting Worlds, which is Kojima Productions' first like real life film.
Yeah, it's a doco
about Hideo Kojima and all these like talking head directors being like, yep. God, he's cool.
He's so cool. He's a genius, you know. He's really figured it out.
And it like makes sense. It's a promo thing, and like they've got to do that and whatever.
The annoying thing is that given what his influences are, it will be made in a very American style. Because the Japanese style of documentary, like that one about Miyazaki, the Ghibli one,
yes,
where it's like so lo-fi and it's just him, there's no narration, there's no talking heads, it's just him hanging out, punching darts,
pottering around,
pontificating about what it's like to be nearly dead. It's like that kind of vibe, fly on the wall style, would be awesome to see of Kojima. Like a Kojima doco made by someone who's not Kojima would be great.
There's a funny bit I watch. It's like a 2-minute trailer, and there's a bit in it where he's like in the boardroom with, I guess, like the top people at Kojima Productions. He's like, vibe really got nicer in here once we turned the cameras on, didn't it? And then like it cuts to like a couple of them laugh, but some of them like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is almost like we felt like we had to behave now.
Hideo Kojima can't stop. Like it's the, right. Yeah.
I want to see the like the doco that's, him at the party and he's just chewing Nicholas Winding Refn's ear off and then like the camera hangs on Nicholas as Kojima walks off and he's just like, what a punish. I want to see that version of this doco.
There's a part in it too where it's like the world's first video game auteur. Like, is he?
No.
Miyamoto, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, like he made a game a long time ago and he became an auteur, but yeah, you're like probably Miyamoto?
I guess. I don't know, but yeah, it's
he's
like
a guy who is he sort of is one of the few guys who people are as into like the cult of personality with him as they are with the product that he puts out, which isn't, people think Miyamoto is like a cool, nice guy, but they're not, you know, he's not on Twitter. He's not like, you know, posting photos.
He has dignity.
Stuff he's watched. Yeah.
Well, I want to see, I don't know. There's enough of him coming out wearing like a Pikmin shirt being like, hey.
That's true. He's De Niro now.
I think he's just on camera less.
As he's getting older, he's, he's getting less.
I would like to see the documentary that had footage from him walking past the Animal Planet, that was called, office, being like, could this be Star Fox or what?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I mean,
that'd be the narration of like, but he wasn't perfect.
Yeah, that is a guy.
He'd walk around sticking his fucking beak into stuff that was none of his business.
That is a guy whose life story would make a fascinating doco.
Yeah.
Because he's just been at the same damn company for 35, 40 years.
Yeah, it's real Jiro Dreams of Sushi stuff. It really like, is. Yeah, you just Miyamoto's dedicated son. To one thing. Yeah.
Miyamoto's son opening a second Nintendo on the other side of the country.
Secretly the guy the whole time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the Apple. That's the Apple conference done and dusted.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Miyamoto, Nintendo like put out a couple of weird trailers just sort of out of nowhere, probably in lieu of them doing a direct during this sort of game promotion season that we're in. One of which was for Pikmin 4 for like the character creator, which I didn't know they had that in there. That's kind of cool.
I mean, the character, there's been like a new main one that you play as in every in all the three Pikmin already, and
Olimar,
they all look
two others three or something
Abe
oh nice okay yeah. Well
and
pulled.
Someone else,
Johnny.
Yeah. I mean, they're all goofy looking. They look like kind of, I like the art style, but they look like kind of me character creator.
Right.
Little things anyway. And I'm on record on here frequently saying I don't care for character creation, but goddamn if I aren't excited for this one. If I aren't.
You use the word, we I swapped aren't. Words yeah. from our sentences.
You guys
earlier.
Have both had what, two coffees each?
I've had like four. I'm fucking out of my mind at the moment because it took me a long time to get here.
Yeah, and but you were on a train.
But I had to get off and do like replacements and stuff. So every
fair,
sort
yeah.
of portion of the journey, every it was port. Almost like my brain reset that I was just starting my day.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I didn't know that.
Adam heard the term a whore in every port. And he thought that meant coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that term on my morning commute this morning. Came over
first
the metro.
First thing in the morning, a filthy old man at the train station. Oh. I came here. I thought I was getting in here pretty early. I opened the door. Lights were on. Adam was sitting on the couch, just already flipping me off as I opened the door.
I heard you shuffling up.
Yep, yep.
Middle fingers up.
Heard me fiddling with my keys for 10 minutes. But yeah, Pikmin character creator, they also just randomly dropped an announcement of a game called Everybody 1-2 Switch.
I'd forgotten that we'd heard the rumors of this.
About a year ago, there was a leaker who announced, who leaked a bunch of other stuff that ended up coming to fruition.
Right.
And one of the things that they'd included that they heard internally was that, yes, Nintendo had worked on a sequel to 1-2 Switch, a launch game on the Switch that even the original was met with, you know, pretty tepid response.
Yeah.
It should have been a pack-in, and even if it was, it would have been poorly reviewed, but it wasn't. No one bought it because it seemed shit, and it apparently was.
We played it at that, like, pre-Switch launch thing, and I thought it was cool to have a tech demo of the little, of the Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
But beyond that, it wasn't much at all. And then they've been making this sequel to it, which this leak apparently suggested was so awful.
It tested horribly internally.
Yeah.
And they had shelved it because they as the leak went, it got to a point where they just went, we just can't fix this up.
Wow.
It's testing so appallingly. And now all of a sudden, an announcement that it's out at the end of this month, so quite soon, from announcement to release, no trailer, no screenshots.
One like a promotional image is the only thing I've seen of like
cover art kind of thing.
Like a horse.
Yep. Yeah, with one of those rubber horse head mask things.
I know that like a week ago we were like, Gollum's bad, but I don't know if I'm interested in like so bad it's good type of stuff. I'm wrong about that. I want to play this.
I mean, it's out in like 4 weeks and they're like, yeah, we'll share some more information soon. When? It's out so soon.
Yeah, I wonder if that means, because they do announce whether they're doing those directs pretty close to when they actually take place.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
So
they
maybe
also announced a couple of new Joy-Con colors. I mean, this is real sort of death rattle stuff that you see from at the last couple of year of every console, right?
A bunch of new games for the online service, like, you know, a bunch of SNES and
Game Boy and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, that's weird. But I guess, this is their really, if they packaged this together as a direct, people would have been like, ugh.
Well, and I don't really remember the particulars of the one from sort of towards the start of this year, but I kind of remember watching and being like, okay.
Yeah.
Like,
I think
there
was
some
bad,
Zelda
it was,
in it.
Yeah,
I think they dated Pikmin and showed off more of that because they hadn't, all they'd shown previously was just the logo.
I guess that was when Metroid, they were like,
they
and
surprise
it's up
dropped
now.
Yeah. Metroid. Yeah. They surprise dropped the the Game Boy and the Game Boy Advance stuff being on the Switch online.
That's right. There was some cool stuff.
Yeah,
in
it wasn't bad. But
I think you're right that it is like, I think I've said this before, but prediction is towards the end of the year, similar thing to before the Switch came out, where they're saving everything for a September, October Switch 2. Here's the Metroid Prime 4 logo updated.
That's it. Yeah. The only thing they could do if they did have a direct around E3 time would be, here is Metroid 4 and it's out at the end of the year as their big holiday game.
Yep. Sure.
Which is still kind of possible, but I just think they'd be shuffling it over, surely.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah. And Tears of the Kingdom will probably, I mean, that's been a massively huge selling game already, but they'll probably just go, well, we've got enough stuff for like a Christmassy sort of period. We've got these new colors. It'll be fine.
Right, right.
Next March will be the Switch 2 or whatever it is.
I think Pikmin will do well. Like, that's a series that enough people like as their little, like the actual sort of swan song of the console.
I'm skeptical about this being that soon. I don't know why. Everything else in this generation for Nintendo, COVID onwards, I guess, has been massively pushed back. Like, there was that year where it's like, oh yeah, we've had to delay half of our first party games by like 6 months to a year. Like, I don't know why. I just think maybe that would be a little optimistic. I reckon maybe we hear about it for the first time sometime start of next year.
Right.
Maybe it comes out end of next year.
Possibly. I suppose I'm thinking of it like it should have been out already.
Right, yeah.
And this is the already delayed schedule where like Tears of the Kingdom would have been on both or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I kind of think the fact that the Pro didn't happen when it seemed like that was going to, And it seems like that was the thing that really got affected by COVID, and they just went, we can't get this out. That means that they probably got working on the successor quicker than they otherwise might have. Like, they just abandoned that and, like, yeah, put a lot of that work then into the follow-up.
Or whether that pro was the two or whatever.
Or just, the same things that killed the pro also delayed even working on the next one.
True.
You know, because it's like, well, if there's no parts, there's no certainty around the supply. Like, I assume it's just pushed everything way back. But
possibly.
Who knows? Well, I guess we'll hopefully find out in the next couple of months.
You can never tell with Nintendo. They'll just be silent for a while and then go like, oh, by the way.
Oh, and also because everything's going so well still. You know, it's like Switch is selling, you know, millions and millions of units. All of the games, like Tears of the Kingdom's going great. Like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is still...
It's still the highest selling.
Yeah, you know, it's like... There's probably no rush for them financially to do it.
It has already hung around longer than most console iterations do. There was a thing in their last financial...
Hey, they released the OLED model.
That's true.
That counts.
It's true.
It's something.
It's something.
Got me to the shops for some fucking reason.
Their last financial... meeting thing that there's always just the odd little interesting thing in there where they talk about, you know, they'll say, oh, we're not thinking about the new thing until this time frame.
Yeah.
I think they had some like pretty lofty expectation of the number of Switches that they would sell in the last quarter or whatever, and they didn't quite hit it.
Okay.
For like maybe not the first time, but I mean, that seemed to me like maybe a thing where they would go, all right, we're sort of getting to the point where everyone that wants one of these has one. You know what I mean? Like, we are getting to the point where we're going to start to see the decline. If we couldn't quite hit that expectation that we had,
well,
then maybe it is time to start getting those, you know, that user base back into a new thing.
I have anecdotal evidence that my sister is going to buy one.
Yes.
And she hasn't owned a video game console ever.
Tell me the day that she gets one, because the next day the Switch 2 will get an answer.
Yeah, that's good.
She was like, which one should I get? I'm like, just get the normal one. Don't get the OLED one.
Maybe even the light, honestly. Like, will she even play it on the TV?
No, yeah, she will. Okay, she doesn't like the handheld thing. But I was like, you're not going to care about the next one. You've got 7 years of games to play.
But people keep asking me, who are pretty casual with gaming, they're like, should I buy one, or are they just about to announce the new one? Mm. And I'm like, well, they might be, but you don't care. Like,
right.
Even if, like, I'd be going in day one for sure to get whatever new game they put on it, but you're not going to want that if it's only got, you know, one or two games on it.
Right.
You get in now, you can get a used one at a good price. You've got the people have this thing of like, oh, there's going to be no point if the new thing's just about to come out. It's like, yeah, but you've got the entire library there just waiting for you.
It's
like,
not
it's
an
the best
iPhone.
Time to go
yeah.
In. Yeah,
that's the thing. I guess if you're used to it being like phones and stuff, where it's like you just want to get the most current.
It's like, no, you get in now and you get the best of the last 7 years.
Yeah,
at maybe not a cheaper price, knowing Nintendo, but you know, like it's the best time to get one.
If you're only going to use it on the TV too, get one of the non-OLED ones.
Yeah,
just go on eBay, find someone who's selling their original one with all their games. Like, you'd probably be able to get a good little packet for like $700 that's got a ton of stuff.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of being able to get a good little packet with a ton of stuff, if you're feeling like doing that, but you're not interested in games, but somehow you're midway through this podcast, but you do have a lot of body hair that you don't want on you anymore.
I think that's a pretty likely set of circumstances.
Let us know
honestly.
If you just listen to the ads.
Yeah.
I only listen to Filthy I'm not a nerd. I only listen to Filthy Casuals for the ads.
A lot of people do like the ads. I've been seeing people saying they like the ads.
We do a good job of them.
That's right. We're professionals.
But we won't push it too much, and I'll get to what it is for. Manscaped. They make a bunch of things that cut hair on your body. That's the idea. And they make a bunch of other stuff too. They make good products. Their Lawnmower 4.0 is the big front man.
It is the big front
the
man.
Thing, dancing the around up there, wiggling about. And you're like, I bet he's awful off stage. But he's not.
All
he's
right,
actually
baby,
lovely.
It's me, the Lawnmower 4.0.
It can take me, get me a little bit wet. But like, I'm not going to say I'm fully waterproof, because you can't say it about any technology, really, unless it's like a
I think
flipper.
They do.
Flipper you can say that.
Oh, on guitar, it's the Weed Whacker 2.0.
Everybody, welcome to the stage. They've got body wash.
Yeah.
On base.
He's the, yeah.
The fake little newspaper that comes in the gift pack.
All the roadies coming out unzipping the little bag that you get with it to set them up. They make good things.
Imagine having a beard trimmer tech who goes around with you, like sets it up. He's tuning it.
Check.
Shave.
One, two. We haven't described what they are from that. A better way to figure out what they are for yourself is go to manscaped.com. And then once you decide what you want to get, if you use the code FILTHY and type that in.
Yeah, you type it in at checkout.
When prompted.
Yes.
You'll get 20% off and free shipping, which pretty cool.
Yeah. It's summer in the Northern Hemisphere.
Hot down, summer in the Northern Hemisphere.
Shave down, hit the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lawnmower 4.0, great body hair trimmer. That's what it is.
Endorsed.
We've now covered it.
And
what the product is.
And advertised.
20% off, free shipping.
Filthy.
What a fucking deal.
Filthy.
Oh, such a good deal.
Anything else, or should we talk about Street Fighter?
I think it's time to talk about Street Fighter.
I think it might be Diablo as well.
Which way around?
Should we just do a bit on Diablo?
Do a bit on Diablo.
You talked about it last week. Yeah. I've gone in as well. It's launched now. I've been playing it a bit. It's pretty fun. Yeah. I'm having an all right time.
I think it's a really good game. I think it might be the best game in the franchise.
Maybe. Mm. I liked two at the time, but for right now, four is the one.
I think so.
It's more current than two. I've had a couple of bits and pieces of like...
It's not twice as good.
Well, it's double what two is.
No. It's the fourth in a linear progression of numbers.
All right.
Agree to disagree. I've had a couple of like sort of connection-y, rubber banding, laggy sort of bits and pieces because I guess the servers are under high load. There's a weird thing too.
Yeah, I haven't played it since it launched actually.
They've said they'll fix this.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't change the resolution in game. It will only do the resolution that your monitor is set to. So if you've got like a monitor that's set to 4K, but you want to play something to 1440p because that's what your computer can handle.
Yeah.
Not that weird of a situation.
Pretty common.
You got to go in and fuss around with the Windows settings and stuff, which is like just little bits and pieces that are annoying like that.
That's
like,
stupid.
Yeah. But overall, it's like running nicely. I'm enjoying playing it. It's that Diablo thing of like you click and a monster dies.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you feel like a god.
Every time I click my mouse, a monster dies.
Stop clicking your mouse then. I'm having an all right time.
Diablo Catorce.
I hated it when they updated our phones and put Diablo on everyone's phone.
That would be sick.
Well, Diablo Immortal if you want it. But it's an enjoyable game. There's a ton in there. It is a big game.
It's a big game. It's a big map. Honestly, it's like if you took Diablo 2 and doubled it.
I disagree with that. I think it's the fourth sequentially in the series.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
There's not a ton more to say about it that you didn't really say last week. I agree that it's just like an enjoyable time that is like really, really letting me get some levels and some loot fast and satisfyingly.
There's we got a bunch of patron opinions.
Well, just quick, I'm not loving the story necessarily. I find it like a bit whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the one thing that's not as good as the previous ones, I reckon.
Yeah, like it's not terrible, but it's just all a bit like...
I think the presentation of it is better, but maybe there's less to invest in.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is, but like there's not really any characters that are making me go like, oh, I'm interested to see what this person has to say or whatever. Yeah. But it's also not... It's weirdly more the focus of the game than it was in previous ones and also very much not.
Can totally disregard it and just click around for 4 hours and have a good time.
Yeah, and the other thing that has happened since launch is that they've brought online the real money shop, but it's still using the tokens that you buy them for X amount and then your brain doesn't figure out how to do the exchange rate properly, so you spend more than you might have wanted to.
And the things are always like, it costs this much. So if you buy the lowest amount of tokens, you can't afford it. And then if you buy the next most...
Bonus tokens.
It's like you just...
Two-thirds too many or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's more expensive.
If you spend 100 and whatever dollars, then you get the 2,000 extra tokens. Yes. So, hey, best value.
Yeah, it makes sense.
No.
But, like, it's
only cosmetic.
It is all cosmetic. It's more expensive than most games' cosmetic stuff is, which is kind of weird. But it is more of a... look, they're not doing something that other people aren't doing.
Yeah.
It's not something that is...
And it's not pay to win. Like, it's not helping game progress. It's just... visuals.
But it's there and it's overpriced and worth mentioning, but it isn't like that much of a detriment if you want to ignore it.
Right, right. And if people think it's overpriced, not overvalued, they should not buy it. And if they
very
don't,
much what I'm doing.
If they don't buy it, maybe Activision will lower the price.
I don't know. Someone's buying it, clearly.
Yeah.
People are out there snapping this shit up. And which, I've got a fucking... you know, Master Chief sitting on my Fortnite account that means that I have the disease that they're preying upon.
Well, but yeah, I mean, when the game is free to get, then you can buy a couple of those things. And even if you do a bit of it, it's like, okay, well, I play this game a lot. I love it. I've ended up just spending what this game would have cost if it was a game that cost money. So that's okay. But when you're already spending whatever it is, you know, the full price of a game to then be asked to do more of this stuff. But
it's not required. Like,
it's not required.
And that being said, what is in this game?
You can get nice armor just from playing the game.
And what is in the game, totally a full game's worth of stuff. It's massive. And like, I'm enjoying playing it and there's a ton there to do. So it's pretty fun.
I mean, if Nintendo turned around and went, spend $30 in Tears of the Kingdom and you can run around as Wario, I'd be there in a fucking second.
Exactly. It's right. Just like, it's like...
which you can buy an amiibo.
Yeah.
So...
well, in this one, all the stuff that you get from the amiibo you can find in-game.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Just they just give you like meat and stuff, right?
Yeah,
a lot
of
them just...
I love meat, though.
That's true.
That's my favorite Legend of Zelda character. Meat.
Raw meat.
Raw prime meat. Oh, for sir.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm having to mix some of that with some, what are they called? Skydy lions? Is that what they're called?
Sundy lions.
Yeah.
Eat this raw meat. It'll make you feel a little bit better. But cook this meat with some salt. It'll bring you back to life,
dude,
brother.
It's just like real life.
Yeah,
it'll make
is.
You run faster for longer.
Oh man, I'm annoyed with Tears of the Kingdom because there's the way it structures like the run to the final boss. You can't
let's do some Tears of the Kingdom at the end because I got some stuff as well.
Okay. People on our Patreon, which they must have gone to patreon.com/filthycasualspod, they've got Diablo thoughts.
Yeah, they certainly do. Todd says Diablo 4 continues to be the best podcast video game around. I think you mean Filthy Casuals is the best video game podcast. So I've edited that for you. But yeah, also props to them for making it so easy to play couch co-op with my spouse in a way that is a lost art for video games.
That's cool. Yeah, I haven't done any of that. I'm playing it on PC and don't have anyone in my life. But
well, we were considering doing some co-op at some point. We just haven't yet.
Super easy to do in the game too. All of that stuff is well implemented.
David says, only level 20, but it feels very good to play. You can feel the progression from the third game. It's 25% better.
Again... I think it's 25% the next one in the series.
Okay, well, agree to disagree. I'm a bit worried about the end game with the cost of respecking and the Paragon board system seeming full on. But we'll have lots of fun getting there at least. Mm. That's fair enough.
Yeah, I'm nowhere near end game stuff yet, but certainly in regular game, there's and we'll talk about a similar phenomenon with Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
It feels just massive and like, oh, cool, I could play this game for as many hours as I wanted.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know if, maybe there's some problems with the endgame stuff that would cause concern.
Again, this is someone else also speculating. So,
oh, sure.
Diablo 4 is the perfect game from Craig. This is from Craig. Perfect game to play while listening to a podcast. Wow. People are like me.
Multitask, baby. Yeah.
Diablo should do like Grand Theft Auto radio station style and just like license pods.
Hey,
to be blaring.
Yeah. We could do it. We could do a pretend podcast set in Diablo world. We'll be like, Traffic report, a lot of monsters out there on the five. That's just one of the ideas that we might come to you with.
Yeah. Mm, now he's okay. Freebird. That's a cool video we should make.
Okay. Let's
Diablo
do it.
Diablo Radio.
The story, this is still Craig, the story is engaging enough, but you can also turn your brain off and just run around the world and kill things and earn XP and loot, which is what this game franchise is to me.
I'm certainly having fun. God damn it. Is there a way to
Speaking
flush...
of turning your brain off.
Yeah, I'm doing this podcast in Diablo mode, and a lot of people are saying it's the perfect podcast.
You're meant
game.
To turn it off and on again.
Skip.
Yeah. You're listening to a podcast while you're doing this podcast, which is why you're finding it hard to talk.
Yeah. But I think I agreed with whatever that one was saying that I've forgotten.
Story bad but inessential.
Yes.
actually, yeah, because we put the call out for Street Fighter VI and D4, thinking that, you know, Street Fighter VI is the new game, but a lot of mostly Diablo stuff. PDC. Mm-hmm. Says they've been a huge fan since the first one. But given Blizzard's recent form, their expectations are pretty low. But they've never been more happy to be wrong.
I hate being wrong.
Sometimes I like to be happy to be wrong.
I like.
Oh, no. It's spreading.
If I'm wrong in a way that I can learn from.
Yes.
I like that.
If it's, you're pleasantly surprised.
Oh, that's the worst kind.
No, I love a lesson.
It's like being at fucking school. Yuck.
Every time I fuck up, it's deliberate because I actually enjoy being wrong.
They're absolutely hooked. Microtransaction crap has been out of sight, out of mind so far.
Yep.
Yeah,
so, fair enough.
The only way it's been bothering me is because it has, you know, when like on a tab, it'll have a little exclamation mark thing to show like, oh, there's new stuff to look at here. I hate having those. I want them gone.
Yeah.
It's like having a notification on your phone where you just have to go and investigate.
Yep.
And it does do that unless you've looked at every fucking available piece of armor and whatever, which is a bit like, get out of my face.
I hate going into an options menu where it's got like a game that's got like a compendium. So like anytime you come across a new thing, it adds it to, and just seeing the little... Hey, there's some new stuff in here. It's like, I know it's there. I don't care. I don't want to read four pages of lore about this one monster.
Well, boy, Street Fighter VI is doing a lot of them little red dots, and you're getting a lot of stuff to go have a look at
there. That is true. What is this, just, a sniper rifle convention?
Just quickly.
A lot of little red dots.
What is this, a laser pointer convention? And I tell you what, the presentations at those conventions, confusing.
They happen across the road from each other on the same day.
Yeah, really complicated PowerPoints.
How many unread emails do you have in your inbox?
Oh, zero.
Great question.
But I haven't actually read them. I've just marked as unread.
39,317.
Whoa!
Oh, that's just... heartbreaking.
I've got two, but it's because I haven't checked my phone since I drove here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Busy boy.
I used to be a clear out every day, and then I think I was on an overseas trip where I wasn't getting like reliable internet and all the just mailing list stuff banked up. And
but for 39th, were you on an overseas trip for 11 years?
Oh, no. This was ages ago, and I just went, that kind of shook me out of the thing of really needing to have it. You know what I mean? I came back and I was like, well, I'm never getting through this.
That's fucked up, man.
I know.
I like file my, you know, for taxes, I file certain emails under receipts. Like, it's all organized.
Get a load. It's fucking odd couple over here.
And you're kind of in the middle.
Yeah, I'm hanging out. I don't technically have any unread emails,
right?
But I couldn't tell you what's in my inbox.
Sure.
I've just got so many. I really need to do it. Like, so many just spam and mailing lists. Like, I get up in the morning and there'll be 20 new ones and they're just all
mailing
the stuff where I just look at and go, okay, well, none of them are actually emails. Mm-hmm. On with my day.
If you can stomach the number being there, then live your life, dude.
Yeah.
I can. And it really felt like a momentous moment to kind of break through that barrier and be like, I don't even see the number anymore.
Because I was going to say, at my lowest moments, I've had like 2,000 or something sitting there. But those were probably actually my lowest email moments, but my highest life moments because I had other stuff to do.
Yeah.
But now, zero notifications, but I don't know what I'm doing.
Right. I'm almost 20 times your lowest moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're one of those people who are like, my rock bottom was I got so drunk at a Christmas party that I was embarrassed. Yeah, and then you get up next and you're like, I killed a guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, Street Fighter 6 has a bunch of notifications because there's a ton of fucking stuff going on in that game and I'm loving it.
One of the first things notified of when I opened it up was the collaboration between Street Fighter 6 and Chipotle.
Yeah, me too. Wow. I took a screenshot of it because literally the first time you turn the game on, it's like, guess what? It's Burritoville, baby.
Fuck.
They've got like a little just notification board that shows up and some of those things are like the collabs that I guess they're going to keep doing.
And I love, don't get me wrong, I love a funny collab. It's the world we live in now. Everything's got to be crossing over with two other brands.
And sure. Capcom are good at them.
Capcom aren't good at them. But I was playing on a computer that I wasn't using a VPN on. And it did annoy me that it came up because it's like, you know that there's not a Chipotle anywhere near me.
Right,
this is irritating. Is it something like you go in there and you get little points for in the game or something?
Sure.
So it's like,
but
well,
it's not going to be like Street Fighter 6 Cross Zagami's.
Do you
remember Zagami's?
Yeah.
No.
It was like attached to like an RSL, right? It was like a restaurant.
It was like a suburban Melbourne institution.
Okay.
I got a Chinese burn there once. I don't know if that's what you meant to call them anymore, but this happened in the 90s.
I think you call them dumplings now.
I thought you were misremembering the name of Zambrero's.
No.
The Aussie Chipotle.
I guess that is
Guzman? More. Yeah, Guz.
Mm.
But, GMG. Yeah, there's a ton of shit in here. Some of it is like, they're clear, this is a live service game in one element, and so they're going to, there's like, a place I've started in the middle.
Well, the thing that all
I'm
the
doing this memento style
mention is that they really, really learnt from the botched launch of Street Fighter V.
Right.
Came out really lacking in features, lacking in single player stuff to do, even lacking in online stuff. I think from what I read, the competitive scene took a while to get around it because they just hadn't fleshed it out properly.
Yes.
It wasn't a finished game when it launched. And so, yeah, they've launched this with just so much stuff in it, straight out of the box.
It's fucking dense. It's packed full of stuff, variety in it. This is the type of fighting game that I really enjoy, like Mortal Kombat 11 and that sort of little trilogy there, like Injustice.
Yes.
Or having, you've got three main sort of modes that everything's split into. One of them is called World Tour, which is like the main sort of single player adventure mode.
Yep.
You are going around a world and getting into fights with any person you feel like. Mm-hmm. There's wacky characters. There's a story to follow. It seems very long. I haven't gotten super far in yet because I've been doing some of the other stuff too. But like, it's goofy and kind of like janky and very cool and interesting.
Yeah.
I think. Have you been playing that one
a bit?
That's
kind of the main thing I've been doing. Yeah, I've been focusing on that because I did like one playthrough of the arcade mode story kind of thing, just to kind of see what that all looked like. It's good. I am enjoying it. It does seem like it might get a bit repetitive.
Yeah.
I think it's great that they've put it in and they've had they've done something different with it.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see a version of this where they just make this the whole game because, you know, they are obviously leaning on Street Fighter as being an online competitive thing and needing the arcade mode. I'd love to see a version of this where it's like, this is the game. It does feel, not an afterthought, but I'd be interested to know how long it's going to hold my attention for. I'm still enjoying it. It doesn't have the most amazing story. It's very much just like, go here, get into these fights, go over here. You're meeting a lot of the Street Fighter characters around the world who you're then studying under, which then lets you assign their moves to your character. So you can, the more different people you meet, you can basically build this character that's got, Ryu's Hadouken and Chun-Li's spinning bird kick.
And there's limits on like which characters' moves you can use at the same time. And they're like sort of confusing where it's like, if something would have an input that's the same as someone else's move, you can only choose one. Like,
yeah.
You can't do it like Tony Hawk style where you used to be able to put any move on any sort of button input.
And you're having to sort of do little, go off and do little tasks for them to sort of get them.
You develop your bond further and you get more stuff.
Yeah, which lets you get more moves. You're leveling up.
All of those
up.
Tasks as well, for the most part, are like, go fight a guy.
Yeah.
And there's like some little sort of side things that are sort of, they're not like bad. It's just clearly, like you say, this is crammed into the main game. And it's big, but like it reminds me of on like the sort of PS2 era Mortal Kombat games, they would have these sorts of things where there was like so many different modes and you could do like chess and whatever. But they a couple of times had a sort of adventure mode like this that felt similar, where it's like you've crammed this into a thing that it, and it's not the point here, but it's cool.
It is right. really cool. It does feel a bit. The world looks great. The music is great. The personality of it is all
dude,
awesome.
It's got like all this cheesy rap that is really fun. Okay. It's like so corny, a lot of it, but in a way that I'm just like really into. Mm.
When you go into World Tour mode from the main menu screen and you click on that, it then brings up a little thing that shows you your character name and the progress that you've made. And your little avatar kind of leaps from the side of the screen and is like, hey,
all right,
we picking up the game or what? It's very dumb, but it is. I think you were comparing it from the trailers and stuff, Ben, to Yakuza, and it is like that in setup. It's kind of it's RPG world. You're running around this big city and just getting into fights, but it's kind of hard not to feel a little bit like, well, why wouldn't I just play Yakuza? Because that's got all of the trimmings around that. Like you say, Adam, it is. Yakuza is built, you know, with that in mind.
That is the game,
A version of this where it's not a character creator tutorial version of a Street Fighter game, but where it's like a true Street Fighter RPG where you're playing as Ryu and they've written this. Because the story is very, like your character, you know, is just this silent guy.
You just make a custom character creator thing, and so they don't talk or have a personality.
The story of like the last Yakuza game, the last main Yakuza game, where the guy you were playing as, he had so much personality that was so much that informed so much of the story. This is just like you're just a blank slate. You turn up, Chun-Li's like, oh hey, why don't you go over there and do this for me? Your character's not interacting really in any way, just kind of standing there, which does start to make it feel
even
a little bit like you start to wish you were doing something that just had a bit more injected into it.
I think if this was just the game, then it would be underbaked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as a part of this greater whole that has a very good fundamental, solid foundation.
It is a really fun way to learn cool to play thing. The game. Yeah. And
it's very tutorially too, and it's kind of plotting. Especially early on, where it will introduce each new thing to you one after the other in a quite laborious way. And a lot of menus coming up of like, here's an explanation of this. And then 30 seconds later, here's an explanation of this next thing. And it's a little slow off the ground.
Yeah,
for sure.
But it feels fun to play. The fighting mechanics in this are great. You can use your little, some of your attacks and your moves in the main world map to like break down walls and stuff like that, which feels really fun. It's good. I would love a version of this where this is what the sort of single player arcade mode is. So like you pick a character, you know, from that actual roster.
Right. And they've got maybe like a 2-hour story. Instead, it seems like, and I've seen people, I haven't come anywhere near to finishing it, but like maybe up to like 30 sort of hours, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, I could see it getting a bit repetitive because it is all fighting stuff. But like the thing that you're repeating, the fighting in this game is fucking good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed 4. I've been on and off with fighting games. I've never been like a big pro, watch me waggle my fucking stick around type of guy.
That's not what I've heard.
Yeah. Well, it depends if you catch. After Coney, I got a bit weird. But, but like, it's just that. So the biggest change in terms of like the main fighting stuff is that switch to there's multiple control schemes now.
Yes.
But basically, modern and classic are the two sort of major things, and there's like a third one that's like you can only use it, I think, in maybe local games. I might be wrong about that, but it's like a even more simplified one. But modern is you've got light, medium, strong attacks, and then you've got special, and those are your buttons, and you've got other buttons for stuff. You can hold down R2 and that'll start you doing combos, hold and things like that. But it is just a more simplified version of the normal Street Fighter controls, where you don't have to do the stick inputs, especially.
That is the best change they've made.
It's that, so well
it's
done.
It's such a smart move to be this deep into a franchise and just, yeah, completely retool it for it to get a new audience in. And with and doing that without sacrificing the diehards that want to play online and memorize the inputs, that's all still there. That hasn't been jeopardized in any way.
And for people who've been playing it for 30 years, basically, it doesn't alter it and ruin it or whatever. You can still and you can customize who you want to interact with and whatever. But it's such a well thought out way of simplifying fighting game controls where you've still got the same basic challenges of a fighting game, which are like placement and timing and that sort of thing. You're just not having that physical barrier. And especially if you're kind of newish to fighting games, you're kind of having to learn two things at once if you're learning a fighting game, which is those mechanical inputs, the actual sort of physical interaction with the game, as well as all that second layer of fighting game theory.
Yeah.
And being able to just focus on one a lot more easily is a way better way to learn it.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll like make it so that transitioning to the, in quotes, proper controls becomes harder because you've like learned with training wheels.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. But
it doesn't really, that's what's cool about it is it doesn't make you feel that using that other control scheme is you on easy mode or anything like that.
No, it's not like putting the little gutter protectors out in bowling. Mm-hmm. It's just
for a game
you've
that
got a bigger arm or whatever would make bowling easier.
Yeah, for a style of game that is...
Popeye is the best bowler in the world.
For a style of game that is very conducive to just pick up and play in short bursts, having a thing where it makes it really attractive and easy to just go through the roster and sort of try everyone's moves because you're not having to spend an hour with a little book open beforehand, like looking up what all the inputs of them are. You can just go, I'll race through this person's story on arcade mode, get a feel for all their moves. Yeah, cool. Now I'll do that with another person and, you know, learn what all the like, yeah, just how they all feel differently.
And it adds potentially like a Smash Brothers-y kind of anyone can pick up and play it type of thing to this game, which they didn't really have in the past. If someone was a bit better than you, you were fucked.
Yeah.
And this narrows that gap in a really clever way that I'm enjoying messing around with. And yeah, there's that arcade mode and like some other strange modes like exhibition fights or whatever that you can do in one mode, and then the main thing is this battle hub, which is like a physical room that you go into for the online, and you're running around this cool little arena with all these arcade cabinets set up that you go up to fight someone else.
Right.
There's a floor in the middle of it where you can get your weird custom characters to fight each other. And fuck, I love going down there and seeing Sonic the Hedgehog and this crazy shit that people have made that you can then share those like character creations with a code that you can put into your own one.
A recipe.
Yep.
That's literally what they
refer to. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you cook up a fucking recipe. Freak.
Right.
And
your recipe for Larry David.
Oh, man, I'd love to see a Larry
David. Yeah.
There's some really good ones. It's like a pretty extensive thing. You can make a lot of different stuff on there.
Yeah, we made a real psycho on YouTube.
Oh, people
want to go watch that.
Created psychos too.
I feel like I have not seen that much about this game since it came out. And I feel like maybe that demo that had the character creator in it sort of stole the thunder of the release of the game, if that makes sense. Because that dropped and people were like, oh, look at all the people would get people kind of got all the like crazy stuff out of their system then that I haven't really seen as much of it since it launched.
Jump around the internet a little and you'll see some fucking freaks out there being made.
I guess it's because fighting games are hugely popular, but also they're a niche.
I think this one's pushing through in some way. This is the most played fighting game on Steam at this point ever.
Ooh.
And all that sort of stuff. Like, it's doing quite well, I think. And yeah,
I've always loved the artistic direction of the Street Fighter games, like the famously in 2, you know, you get your bonus round where you're smashing up an old Honda or whatever.
Yeah.
And when I played through the story mode of the story thing of the arcade mode, just getting halfway through and then being like, oh, who am I fighting next? Is it going to be Ryu or Blanka? No, you're versing Truck.
Taking
down a big 18-wheeler in an arena with people cheering me on. Did you get this, Adam? The first story mode thing that I finished, I then unlocked I think, 30 different pieces of artwork that all just came up one by one. And I'm just like clicking through. And honestly, it got to the point where I was like, I think I've been here for 5 minutes.
It's crazy.
It just brings up so many.
It launches all this shit at you. And some of them are terrible.
Okay. Right.
It's got a ton of art in there, which is cool. And there's a gallery to look at them. But some of them are just like, they're from all throughout the years. But some are just clearly someone like, doodled this up for
yeah,
a concept
yeah, maybe some
art.
Like well-known like games artists and manga artists and stuff
fan
like that.
Art
yeah, they're, yeah, most of them are pretty cool. But it's like credits roll. Artwork comes up, you're like, that's cool, I've unlocked a piece of artwork. I've unlocked a couple. All right. I guess like a little packet of five. That's
right.
It's
just, it cut just to your beard is down to the floor.
It just keeps going.
It's nuts. But and there's so much in there. And then in that battle hub, it's like there's little portions of the map that are like map, like this room that are like coming soon. And so they've
I think
it's just shops and things like that, probably.
Yeah.
You can go and play like a rotating roster of older Capcom fighting games just emulated on there, and they'll switch them out. They say
I haven't been into this bit at all because
it's fucking awesome because you see people sitting around having fights, and you hear the little clicking and clacking of the fake arcade cabinets, and there's like this kind of like Ruby Rod from the Fifth Element like presenter who's like, hey, what's up? Here we go, and it's just all
fun.
I love it when people say, hey, what's up? Here we go.
Yeah,
that's always one of my favorite parts of a video game.
It really gets me going.
It's funny how the World Tour thing is not.
I'm playing Street Fighter 6.
Not much, dude. Come in and have a fight. What's up with you?
It was interesting how much when you boot the game up, the sort of opening cinematic, like the first thing that plays, is themed around that battle hub. Like that is the thing that they're leading with, which I kind of thought it would be more themed around the World Tour mode, but it very much is like a little movie of someone walking around this battle hub and the announcer being like, hey, you can chill out here. And it's cool. It's like all these people dressed up as Ryu and stuff. The whole kind of the fake conceit of this is very charming and cool.
Totally. It's like just a, and you can go and just do menus and do matchmaking and do it all kind of normally, but it's just got this fun, silly, enjoyable way of interacting with what for me is sort of the meat of the game, which is like the multiplayer stuff. And it's just a really good foundation. And then, the fighting feels great. It is like, I don't remember how many characters this thing are, up to 20 something, 19, something like that.
I think it's 12.
Oh, way less than I thought then. But
12 characters.
12 is 4 times
they're
3,
adding,
though.
I thought this was cool. They're going to add more in DLC. And they've got a thing where I think they give you a couple little tickets for starting the game.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to have a thing where once they've dropped a new DLC character pack, you can like rent a character. So you can use one of your tickets to
try one out
for like 24 hours or whatever, and then decide if you want to buy the DLC, which I thought was cool.
Mm. Yeah. Once again, a big focus on like, hey, here's some stuff that is just cosmetic, but maybe you want it for real money. You know, that's all in here as well.
Yeah. That's been in every fighting game of the past 15 years.
And more and more every game, you know. Yeah. Like, almost feels weird to talk about it with, like, Diablos and Street Fighters and stuff because it's becoming so normalized, and not that that's an endorsement of that phenomenon, but
it sounded like it was an endorsement to me.
I'm just saying that I love it. And it's 4 times as good.
But no, you're right.
Games were.
It does feel like it's more part of that package. It's expected. It's like part of the genre in modern games. And it's just cosmetic.
For this, and then there will be the expansions that are for
actual extra content.
But more characters and stuff. I mean, that's pretty standard. They're making more stuff and adding it in.
Yeah.
Because, it's not like this game feels like they've held stuff back. You know, it's not like what it's launched with is lacking in any way.
And this as, like, it's massive already, but this could be, you know, years and years and years worth of just expanding on this game, because it's great and it looks nice. I like the art style. It's like a little more of a halfway point between the sort of more animated looking Street Fighter visuals of like 4.
Yes.
And it looks a bit more, it's halfway between that and like a Tekken.
Yep.
More real-ish looking.
But it's just also dynamic. Like when you land a KO, no matter what move you do, even if it's just like throwing the person onto the ground, like zooms in, it goes slow motion. When you're doing your combos and a lot of your special moves, you've got this sort of like paint sort of splashes coming up behind
looks
you.
Looks awesome.
It's, yeah, it all...
Kind of like Mario Strikers, remember yeah, how yeah. that would go like... It yep. like almost changes yeah. art style.
So even when it's a bit repetitive in the World Tour mode, I'm not really feeling myself switched off on it yet just because it's even... You're doing the same stuff, but the same stuff just feels great to do every time that it's like,
yeah,
here's me just mowing down a couple of guys who are five levels beneath me, but it feels fucking fun to wipe them out.
And in that World Tour, being able to switch and swap the moves from different characters, it's a nice way of being able to sort of go through and try the game and learn it a bit more naturally than just going into training mode and trying out this character and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's a cool way of implementing the learning process of a fighting game in a way that is actually an engaging self-contained mode.
Mm. Yeah.
I really like this game. I think similar to the Mortal Kombat-y things, it's a fighting game that you can play if you don't care about the fighting game part of it,
mm-hmm.
but maybe less so than those because it's not like a cinematic story in the way that those did, which was so cool.
Yeah,
that is the one thing that in the story mode, in the arcade story mode where you just go through character by character, it gives you a little... It gives you a little kind of through line of the character that is
pretty
told
light.
In illustrations with voiceover. And the illustrations are cool. They're done in a cool style.
Yeah.
But it is, for something that's got so much in it and is so, you know, not skimping in any area, I kind of wish there was like a little cinematic to go along with each one. I know that's like that's an extreme nitpick, and it doesn't detract from the gameplay at all, but it is just kind of having everything else be so well thought out and then having these stories that are already pretty simple and then just told with little drawings. It's like, it would be nice to see a little movie there, I guess.
I had a similar kind of feeling.
Yeah.
Like
you don't get one at the end?
Stuff. You get just like a like comic book cutscene.
Oh,
sort of,
yeah.
Because that feels
which
like...
is just in the arcade mode we're talking about. In the World Tour mode, it's all...
It feels like that's all the effort of the cinematics went into that mode.
Right.
Which, it would have been nice to see some of that character. Because they are all pretty simple and brief anyway. So it's
they're
not like they're
minute,
doing like 40-minute cutscenes or anything. Mm. Just sort of seeing the people walk around in the space would have been... And yeah, what's there is well done, but it does. It's like the one area of it that feels a little cheapened when everything else feels so.
I get what you mean. It's similar to, I guess, how in Smash Brothers, I think you could do a similar-ish thing where you played. I can't even remember with Ultimate. But like there was
you would do
that big mode where you were Kirby at the start.
Yeah, big mode.
And then there was little mode.
There was little mode.
Each character has a themed sort of run through, but
it's
you don't get any... Like,
kind of equivalent to that in a way, sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah,
right.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, I think with most fighting games, I associate, certainly Tekken and Mortal Kombat, like you do the arcade mode, you play it through, you get a cutscene for that character.
Definitely like, the sort of Tekken 3 era for sure. This isn't as much... that and the arcade mode is a subsection of a subsection
the
game, you know, so it's definitely not the focus in the way it would have been for the single player. And
it's the Mac overall gaming of Street Fighter 6.
Overall, the single player is much more significant than any Street Fighter game has had because of the World Tour mode. But I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's an extreme nitpick and it doesn't change the gameplay at all. But
and you shouldn't have even brought it up.
Yeah,
but I find it just so fun to play.
Have you done online multiplayer?
Bits and pieces. Don't ask me how often I'm winning. But it's just like it's also slick. It's also like well polished in the core fighting game stuff. That's great. And then all of the single player stuff is added on top, and not as polished as like is it NetherRealms who do Mortal Kombat and Injustice? It's not as like fucking cool as those single players have been in the last few years, but it is very interesting and enjoyable and an evolution of what Street Fighter has done in the past.
It's cool that this series is still around because, these are some of the most iconic characters in video gaming, I think. Like Street Fighter 2 sitting in that realm of like people our age have such strong memories of that game.
Yeah.
And it is cool, like you're running around the world and going and meeting Chun-Li in Chinatown.
Totally.
And she's retired and she's just teaching people kung fu in the street. She's got like a weekly class of old people that just come and learn these like Tai Chi moves from her, basically. It's like, this is fucking cool. This is a character that I've, you know, that has been around in part of popular culture for, how long has Street Fighter been around? For 30 years or something like that? Like, it is cool that this is a package that does feel that it really, like, honors the legacy of these characters that are up there with, like, Sonic and Mario.
Totally. Whilst not leaning on it.
Yeah.
It's still a current and new, and it's got fresh ideas in a really cool way.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a good, fun game.
It's a good-ass fucking game.
I also like about it that, like, in that World Tour mode, you can fight almost anybody in the streets. And fighting is just, like, this thing that everyone does and everyone's fine and it's all cartoons.
It's like Pokemon. It's like everyone's just battling all the time.
But then they're also like, don't go into alleyways or you might get into a fight. Like,
you might get into the bad kind of fight.
The people
that wear cardboard boxes on their heads,
they're
the evil fighters.
Walking up to someone who's waiting across the street and fighting them, that's fun and we all do it.
They'll fight you to hurt you as opposed to the other people that you see in the street. And you enter a silent contract that you're going to have a fun fight.
Yeah.
You're going to beat up this old lady and leave her bent over in the street.
Absolutely. But she'll get up and be like, well, time for me to go home.
Fair's fair.
No worries. My fight money.
Yeah.
This is the future that the liberals want. Just like everyone of all colors and ages beating the fuck out of each other.
We're all born with fists, I guess.
Good game.
Good game.
You want to talk about Tears of the Kingdom a little
bit? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have any Patreon?
Not many.
SF6 thoughts?
Not many, but they were all positive from what I could remember. I'll just have a quick scan.
It's a good game.
I think, if you care enough to go in, you'll enjoy it. And if you felt a bit disengaged from Street Fighter and games of this nature, because I certainly have and I'm still loving it. So I think it is worth...
Right.
There's a demo, so if you didn't know that, you can... You can check it out.
Yeah, it's as close to as those Mortal Kombats and Injustices have been a thing where you don't have to be like, well, fighting game fans will like this.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people will be able to get something out of this.
Yeah.
Scott basically summarized your review in two paragraphs.
Well, we can all be quick about things, Scott.
Well, do it for Scott.
Let's see if you agree.
Yep.
I'll just read the whole thing. Street Fighter VI has been amazing. As someone new to the fighting game genre, I have really no standards other than if I'm having fun and I'm having a blast. The World Tour mode is fun but can get a bit repetitive. The actual world part of it is relatively flat. That being said, I think it has a good personality and fun atmosphere to it. The meat of the game being online play is daunting. However, the game offers so many tutorials and so many things, from combos to frame data, that you can learn and feel some semblance of confidence before you go in and get destroyed by someone with way more experience. But the core gameplay is so fun, you just want to get back up and try again.
Yeah, Scott's nailed it.
Yeah.
This should be the
delete show. All the rest of it. I'll get rid of everything else we've said when we're editing.
This should be the show from now on. We do the call out on Patreon for reviews.
Yep.
Yeah.
We just find the one that most echoes what we think. We just read that.
Yeah.
The eps are 5 minutes long every week.
Good morning outsourcing. I agree with Scott completely.
Todd, who also opined on Diablo 4 earlier.
Big week for Todd.
Big a couple of games.
I'm Todd.
SF6 has absolutely nailed the gameplay. And while World Tour has its fun and silly side, I found I prefer the storytelling / gameplay loop of the movie style that Mortal Kombat does. Fair enough.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Street Fighter is also leaning into the silly, horny / fan service vibe at times, and that's great fun in a way that only Capcom could pull off.
Pull off a horny vibe?
Yeah.
Don't mind if I do.
that's the main of Todd.
Get on the Patreon if you would like to. We do the call out every week.
That's right,
listener. Reviews.
If you think it's an obscure game that only two people will respond to, then add your voice to the cacophony.
Commenters, the proud.
Yes.
I'll talk We Love Katamari Reroll next week.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing that and you want to leave your thoughts on Patreon,
I reckon you might get them read out.
Yeah.
There's a good goddamn chance.
But quick Tears of the Kingdom check in before we wrap up here. I've been, I forgot that I did this in Breath of the Wild, but I've been doing this in the last week in Tears of the Kingdom. Banned myself from fast travel.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, it makes it feel like a different game. If you commit yourself to only going around the roads via horse, I think a different experience and just a it just the whole the world of it just feels so different when you have that context of like I've ridden from the tropics with the palm trees and now I'm it's taken me 45 minutes and now I'm up in the snow.
Yeah.
It just it completely makes the world feel so different. So
and there's often stuff to do along the way.
Yeah, heaps of stuff to do along the way. But yeah, I really would recommend challenging yourself to do that. And like, yeah, sometimes you remember, you know, you find your last little thing that a guy in a village needed and it's on the other side of the map and boy, you get tempted to just duck in and give him his frogs and then piss off. But it just is so rewarding to be like, no, I'm just gonna set off now and go up there. It's so much more of an interesting way to play it. I did the same thing with Breath of the Wild where I got to around the 50-hour mark and I thought, I'm just gonna I feel like I'm shortchanging myself by just kind of hopping around the shrines.
I've sort of done it the opposite way around.
Right.
Yeah, where I was kind of doing that for most of the time and now I've got enough of those side quests that I'm like, okay, I'll do that one day, that I'm kind of going through and ticking off some boxes. And
yeah, sure.
Getting, you know, getting some people some rice.
Yep. Yep.
Boy, a lot of people kind of want rice and shit.
Yeah.
I want rice. I'm
apparently
hungry.
It's like out, you can just like cut it down. But I haven't come across the like wheat fields, I guess.
No, well, it's in some areas, I think, where you cut regular grass and it'll turn into rice.
Right.
But there's not, I don't believe there's a specific rice thing.
Because I think
it's just in some parts of the world, grass will become rice.
Okay. Because I
slice it.
I just bought it from Lookout Landing.
Yeah, you can get it from Hatano Village as well.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
I've also, in doing this, it's kind of been making me think a lot about how I think we both commented, Ben, when it came out, that you're so trained with an RPG that, a quest that you do is going to get you XP and you're going to get actual significant rewards, which...
progress, right?
And progress, yeah, which you sort of don't in this, apart from, like, the shrines are the thing that is giving you essentially XP. Everything else, but I can't, you know, your rewards are basically, you know, basically every now and then you might get some good armor, but it's, you know, it's an apple or a shitty sword that'll be destroyed within 15 minutes anyway. But what I've really come to like about that over time is like, I think it's such a neat getting back to the reason to do the quest is to just do the quest. Like it does just make you focus on the world and it sort of does make you role play a bit more intensely than if you go, I don't really give a fuck about this. I'm just going to scroll my way through it because I'm about to level up and I just want to get this XP. And you're sort of not really focused on the meat and the nitty gritty of what you're doing, which is how I play those kinds of games anyway. But in this, it's like, I want to rebuild this village.
Yeah,
like I just want to do it for the sake of doing it.
Like with Diablo, I've been kind of doing it the way you're describing of like, well, I just want to get this to do the next thing. But it's also sort of built for that. So it is actually quite fun to do it that way. But I agree completely that you're like doing yourself a disservice by treating Tears of the Kingdom.
It just
like
really
that.
Makes you like mentally engage in the world when there is no actual sort of gamey reward. The reward is just
half
the
now
time. This village is functioning, it's cool.
The time when you hear like blickety blickety bling, it'll be some fucking bullshit that you don't need. Like that sign guy's giving me so many meals I'm never gonna eat, but I love fixing his little signs up.
That's fun.
I love getting his meals. He gives you good stuff.
He does give you some okay stuff. But then he'll give you like a puff shroom from his personal private collection.
Yeah, he gives you one shit item, he gives you $20, and then he gives you like a meal that restores like 7 hearts. So it's kind of worth doing for that.
And doesn't he give you like a ticket to sleep over at
sometimes
a hotel?
Sometimes.
Which it's like, it's $10, man. Like,
yeah, I've gotten those a few times.
But I've never used
them. And you don't
one.
Get any no. pony points if you use them.
Oh,
and I want my pony points.
Yeah. I love that they've made the stables from memory in Breath of the Wild were just there. But in this,
and there was some side quests in some of them and stuff.
Yeah,
like that,
but in this they've all got a painting that they want you to get. They've all got the journalist guy always has a little quest. The pony points thing, like being able to customize your... I finally caught a white horse and named it Cupie. And now he's got a beautiful long mane with flowers in it.
You won't dox your girlfriend, but you will dox your dog.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. I want people to be able to look him up on Vic Roads.
I'm at the end of the game and there's one frustrating thing about it, which is that you fight a pretty, not like super long, but there's quite a big fight and then it will take you to like the boss,
mm-hmm.
and
once you're at the boss, you're sort of like, you're in a little area. You can run around and you can like heal and you can like use your Zonai cooking pots and, you know, you can do a bunch of stuff to get ready. But you can't fast travel out and you can't save. So if you say you've got to the final boss and then you start fighting him and like you lose and you're like, oh shit, and you'll still respawn like right before him. But if you're like, oh, but I definitely need more meals. I definitely need more like gloom healing meals or I need more weapons or I need whatever. You can't leave. All you can do is reload a save from before you did that previous fight as well.
Right.
Right.
So you have to start the entire process again, which is quite frustrating.
Sure.
Yeah, that is that for something that's very like...
Oh, and it's hard as well. The final boss is hard.
Right.
So it's not like you're going to like die, reload, be like, oh, actually this time I should, you know, remember to heal half, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like it's a real like knockdown, drag out fight. It's sword and shield.
One
and
of
bow.
Those like multi-phase things like you kind of got at the end of like the sort of 90s RPGs. Like Final Fantasy VII, I remember having like three bosses in a row or whatever.
Yeah. Which... It's not that hard, but similar structure.
Yeah.
Where it's like... Yeah, and there's also that prelude fight where it's like, look, that's that takes time. It's not easy. Sometimes you die to that. Sometimes you get a bunch of hits where you'll get degloomed, or you'll get gloomed, and all your hearts will go away. And it's like you're going to use a lot of resources on this entire thing.
Yeah.
So getting like a third of the way through, and then being like, yeah, you can't leave, you can't fast travel, you can't go get any other healing items. You've just got to commit to this.
You've got to do it. Yeah, you got to spend some more time out in the world to get ready for that whole chunk.
Yeah. It's kind of annoying. It's
you
like,
can
why,
end up
why
like
can't
that
you...
in like a... Like, had kind of a similar thing in some little bits of Resident Evil 4 where
you
just have what you have going into... Because it's so linear and you kind of get trapped where you're in this boss fight and you're like, I just don't have enough stuff, but there's no way of me... Like going back and getting the amount of stuff that I need because I don't have the right money. Like, it can be very frustrating.
Sometimes life comes at you fast.
Sure
but
does.
Yeah, it's weirdly, it's the only part of the game where it's like you have one option on how to do this.
Yeah.
It's just normal melee combat, nothing else. There's no ways around it. There's no climbing. It's like an arena.
Yeah.
You got to fight. And, getting sort of trapped by the game, a third of the way through is frustrating. And I've seen some, little articles and shit of people being like, it's weird that this is the only part of the game where it's like there's only one way to approach
this. Super linear.
And you better be good at melee combat and timing and parrying. And, you better got good at all of that stuff during the game.
Yep.
But,
I don't think I've done a single parry yet.
Oh, brother, I don't know if I'm parrying that much, but fuck, I'm flurry rushing. Flurry rushing all over. I'm like a goddamn guy after a hot day who's near a McDonald's. I'm fucking flurry rushing, dude.
Yeah, I basically avoid combat except for the bosses. So I'm like, okay, I guess I just have to I do have to reload my save.
Yeah.
And learn how to fight the boss.
Yeah, you gotta have a montage.
Yeah, I gotta rocky it up. But overall, great game. C+.
Yeah. That's it. I mean
fucking brought me back to school. Really good work. Well then.
Yeah, it like having
no,
a good time.
It's an A+ game.
Street Fighter 6, but like just anything that's coming along that's not Tears of the Kingdom is annoying me.
Yeah. I will say I hot summer leather couch naked body tore myself away painfully from Tears of the Kingdom to play these other games, which ended up being good, but I still want to keep playing it.
Yeah.
I haven't gone into final boss stuff yet because I want to go do everything else first.
Yeah, I think I'm on 50 hours now. And it just really is something that is...
Gotta pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers.
I know. I'll feel good.
I jack off twice a day to Tears of the Kingdom.
It is really... It's so easy to... I think it's the easiest game to lose track of time in.
Yeah,
and same
with
Breath of the Wild, just because so much of it is you're just cruising around and getting distracted. And like, there's been stuff that I've loved equally as much, but because of the way that it's broken up or it's telling a story or it's very segmented and linear and episodic, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, I've hit a story beat now. It's time to switch this off. I know mentally I've been playing for 2 hours, but yeah, with this to have played 50 hours sort of almost by accident is crazy.
I think I'll mentally set myself like, well, get 4 more lights and upgrade your thing.
Yeah.
But then I'd be like, well, actually, that took like way less time than I thought. Why didn't I just do it again?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you end up there.
Oh, I found this thing that I was meaning. Like, I finally stumbled across Tarrytown the other night.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't found it yet. And I'm like, well, I gotta see what's going on here.
Everyone's living together all in harmony. What are we talking about?
Which isn't because... We talked about some of how it like carries your horses over from Breath of the Wild,
yes.
but then there are certain little things, like Adam, you were saying, that guy that you show all the swords to and he didn't remember you.
Yeah.
Tarrytown, it's like optional in the first one, right?
You built it.
Yeah. So you can right. you could have so
which I didn't. Yeah, I didn't
a couple
it.
Of people
so like what?
Life from finds there a way.
Yeah. A couple of people from there are like, oh God, it's you. But you'd expect everyone who lives there to be like, you're the reason our town.
There should be a fucking statue of you.
Yeah, fuck the mayor.
Yeah,
like you're the king.
Well, yeah.
But what if you didn't? If you didn't build it in Breath of the Wild,
it's still there.
Yeah, it's still there. Like,
who the fuck are you?
Yeah, we did this with our blood, sweat, and tears of the kingdom.
Hey, I remember you. You're that guy who I asked to help build the town with me. He just ran off and never came back.
Yeah, you're that fucking guy.
Yeah, I saved the world.
You
just, right?
You literally disappeared in front of me.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
vanished.
I did all of this myself.
I needed 10 logs.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is going to do us for another week of Filthy Casuals. Head to filthycasuals.com.au. Check out all the stuff that we have going on. We got the Patreon. Get a bonus episode every week where we talk about movies and TV shows. We just finished doing recaps every week of Succession and Barry. So if you were watching them or you're just caught up, you can go back the last 10 weeks.
I've had the fucking Succession theme song jammed in my head all week.
Ah.
I've been walking around like I'm rich as hell. Piano going.
Yeah, that most recent bonus episode, almost 2.5 hours long.
Yes.
So value for money, I reckon. Yep.
No, we've got to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers.
Shoot to the moon.
Yeah. Check all that out. We've got the YouTube channel as well. We're putting the episodes up as videos now if you want to check that out. And
you can see how muddy my shoe is.
Very muddy.
I was walking in some mud.
We've done a few like scripted reviews on the YouTube channel as well.
Yep.
We've also put the written versions up on the website.
Yep.
We're basically IGN now.
Mm-hmm.
But don't act like that in the comments.
No.
Okay? but we are getting paid by every game publisher.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're paying us off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're all biased.
And we've got we've got Let's Plays and all sorts of stuff on the YouTube channel.
Heaps
check
of
all
shit.
That out.
Yeah.
More
guys.
To come, baby.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. We will see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Oh, hello, Ken. Like, hado, Ken. Oh. But if you were greeting Ken, I didn't have one. Sorry. This is Ryu greeting Ken.
Yeah.
Hello, Ken!
There we go.
That's more right. constructive.
Yeah, there
I'm
right.
sorry.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.